What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Awkward Tea Party. This is going to be a fairly short episode because I forgot I had rehearsal tonight. This is the place where Max and I awkwardly fumble through things. We talk about work, pop culture, and whatever the heck we want to talk about, and we get to spend time, and you guys get to hang out and just listen to us.
It's the only time I get to. I'm kidding.
What do you caught?
Yeah.
Before all this, I was kind of, I was salty and still am salty towards this one other agency that's outsourcing workers.
Yeah. That much salt is bad for your blood pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Just to give you guys context, one, for those of you guys just listening on Spotify, yes, I'm shaved or I've trimmed my beard. Why? It's because I got booked for a gig and they needed me to look 10 years younger instead of a creepy old man. It was for a charity event. So, yeah. Anyways,
the bias against beards needs to fucking stop. Anyway,
what do you call it? Prior to this, I was talking to Max about venting more, rather, I feel like, about this one agency that is outsourcing work to us, and I don't think they understand, I guess, our scope of work. I don't know. It's one of those things that I have a feeling that they don't understand, like, how to work with artists, because it just feels like they. Because there's a they're trying to push extra work on top of us. Oh, on top of me, because I decided if it's a simple edit of Zoom podcasts and this. Creating the content, essentially what we're doing already. Yeah. And I just run it through the machine. But the thing is, I'm very strict or in terms of boundaries with scope of work.
Yeah.
So when they started adding stuff on top of it, I'm like, I got like slightly irked because I was like, we didn't say this. We didn't agree to that. And which was like essentially adding subtitling for the entire video.
Yeah.
And that is a lot. Those of you guys who've ever had to create your own subtitle things. And even if you have if you have AI software, there's still things that you need to fix, especially if you have a weird name like me, like Emeroy. It's going to spell it as MRI.
Or sometimes Emerald.
Or Emerald. And then you got to fix that. And then you got to fix the other grammatical errors. Like these things, I'm not sure like they're under. For me, that's where I'm like, I told him it would add greatly in terms of the editing time. And then they were like, oh yeah, we'll just circle back to it once you finish the edit. I'm like, it's not going to be that easy just because I trim it down from like 90 minute full video to like maybe 60 minutes or even 40 minutes.
It's still going to be a while.
Yeah. It's still going to take time.
You still have to comb through 67 minutes for those subtitles and see if everything's correct.
Yeah. And after them,
that's a lot.
I have to read through every single thing, and sometimes, and for me,
the 30-second ones that I have to correct are like take me a while.
Yeah, so it's that's the thing that bugs me. They don't get that part, so that's where I'm like thinking, like, I looked at their Squarespace website. I'm going at them. Fuck them, man. I am
Petty.
Like I try.
Petty University. Are we about to enroll?
I try to be. What's the word? As diplomatic as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that they meant no harm. But for me, people still trying to push the line when I tried to draw it the line already. It's like, okay, I'll do it. Like, it's going to just cost extra. And then I pulled rank of I'm doing this for this many. You saw the email. But for those of you guys listening, like, I pulled rank in terms of like, been doing this for a while. Even though there are solutions, it's not like a be an end all just because it's an app
and
just
it's not perfect.
And just because you can do shit like on TikTok or you can find an app that replaces your background doesn't mean it's going to be like pristine. It's going to look like everyone else's that has access to that app because it's a fucking template.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I just got the vibe that they didn't get. Or they've never worked in the creative part.
I'm sure they meant well when they were like, oh, why don't you use this or whatever. I'm sure they still meant well. Sure, they're just trying to help. Yeah. But at the same time, like, you hired someone which I hope they read your thing where you said you had 20 years experience in editing and a bunch of other things that like...
That's the thing too. Like
you hired someone with the expertise and then you're going to offer some sort of like bullshit thing and think that you found something that they don't know.
Yeah, like that's the thing too. This is the second time I've talked to them. I didn't even talk to them. I talked to the actual owner, like the person I'm doing this. Like it's for their thing, and they talked to the owner, and then this person just comes in who I've never talked to, and just kind of adds that on there. And like when I talked to the owner, we agreed to the scope. We're doing this and this. Perfect. I got you. I can deliver that. And like for me, I was like subtitling for Instagram Reels, easy. It's only a minute, 30 seconds, whatever it needs to be. Yeah, like a minute. And then, but then this person comes out of nowhere who I don't know. That's one of the things that bugged me is like you start just throwing stuff on top of me that I didn't agree to.
Yeah. And also you weren't a part of this initial conversation anyway.
Yeah. Get the fuck out. You didn't like
So like either there was a lack of communication between them. Or there was communication between them and they were hoping that if somebody else said it, that you're like, oh, okay. I'm like, no, it's worse if someone else said it.
Yeah.
And if I'm like, you've been dealing with me this whole time and then somebody comes in and goes, oh, can you do this? And you're like, first of all, who are you?
Like you didn't
introduce yourself.
You weren't part of the initial conversation about to do any of this. So anyways, and then what made me even more annoyed is, I don't know, just I started digging more into like their agency and who they've worked with and what they do. It's like it's a 2-person army. So shouts out to them. They obviously, and then they started during the pandemic, October 2020. So
they're a year old.
So they're a year old, but I'm also like, you're a year old, motherfucker. You're a rookie in this shit. Oh. I'm so like heated right now. Like I'm doing my best to not just go off in a negative tangent because I barely know them, but I'm also so I'm trying to put it into a good light, but I'm also like, no, you goddamn place.
Oh God, here we go.
Oh God. Yeah. Because it looks like they've done good work.
Yeah.
But then I looked on the other accounts. I'm like, y'all got good genetics. So I could see how it works against you. But then that's the thing.
For like, them, not against them.
Against. Yeah. It works for you. So, which is great. And that's one of the things that we lost one of our other bigger clients. That was from, and that because the person they hired inside also had good genetics. I think you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, just because they're hot, or whatever, it doesn't mean they're going to automatically bring you followers or whatever.
They can say they have followers because they're hot. They can't do the same for you unless they're going to sit there and model your crap for you or whatever the fuck. Then now you have an influencer and a social media manager that you're severely underpaying because that's 2 different jobs. I guess what they want. Some companies want.
Yeah, so it worked out on their end.
Money.
Because they
probably saw that person has found money.
They're leveraging her genetics and this is the other company. She's modeling for their product now. But anyways, this one we're talking about, this other agency. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I lit it out. I vented to you already prior to this. Yeah. But yeah, I just, for me, it just felt, and albeit like this is our first time working to each other. There's a lot we don't know about each other, but it just felt like a rookie coming up to someone who's experienced and telling them what to do and how to do their job.
Well, it's probably, so they're a rookie. They have the level of confidence of someone that, you know, has been doing this for more than a year. It's because they probably learned that confidence from somewhere. And also, I think there's a lot of people that they might not know a lot, but they put all their confidence into something that they know about. And then channel that same confidence into something else.
Yeah.
And then it's the whole fake it till you make it kind of thing. And for a while it works. But at the end of the day, when it's like crunch time and it's time to apply yourself and then you still don't know about it, but you're acting all confident about it, that's worse. Mm-hmm. At least while you're acting confident about it, try to learn it.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I was in the same shoes. Like as I was learning through all this stuff, like that's why I kept all the costs low for clients. It's not like I was like an expert right off the bat.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it's just like the frustrations of dealing with non-creative types.
Oh know about that.
Yeah,
I think they're under the impression that because they're basically doing what we're doing, but the only 2 people on the team are the 2 businessy people. So all the creative stuff is getting outsourced, like you and maybe other people. All that creative stuff is getting outsourced and they're literally just picking up whatever freelancer that they can get.
Yeah.
For certain things, for certain projects. And then, you know, when it's done, it's done. It's like, if you're going to have an agency like this, why not have creatives on there?
Yeah. I almost feel like,
why not have a creative person?
Yeah. In my head, I'm like, why don't they just work with us? We have like now how many editors? We're going to have four editors on the team. Yeah. So
four editors and
three editors right now. Cause the other guy, cause the compatibility and all that. Yeah.
That's too bad. He was really good.
Yeah. Well, it's possible that I might have him do stuff that doesn't require me using templates. Oh, God, that's rough. We might have just have him dedicated to like behind the scenes content.
Oh, so he can just do that himself and run with it.
Sorry, like that. I'll give you guys context about that in a second. If you guys watching or listening, but yeah, like we have the creative capability. Yeah, we have a great team. So
almost
like,
December.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's what was in my mind. Like, man, they should have just hired us because we have the in-house capability already for like a whole bunch of other things. So
that's probably how they're able to keep their costs low in a sense. Like they can, I don't know how much they're charging their clients, but I think that's how they're able to bring prices down for them because
I don't think they're getting less. If anything, they're probably charging the same amount, maybe the same amount or maybe a little higher, mm-hmm. but they're keeping the margins high on their end because it's only them two. I think that would be a good, smarter approach and then probably outsource quick projects here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know.
The salt, man, the salt.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
My blood pressure's going to go up because of you. I'm kidding.
I'm semi looking forward to that email because I can't wait to clap back. Because, like, here's the thing. I made it clear that if this was a big client that I wanted to work with, like, and technically, like, we do our best to treat our clients equally. But
it doesn't matter who they are, what they do, blah, blah, blah.
But the thing is, like, if you guys were to go to work with a celebrity that you would like
certain
to,
certain
like,
clients hang out, spark joy.
Yeah. There's some people that you there's probably some people that you would like to work with and probably wouldn't mind going above and beyond because you're like, because it's, there's a little thing bit about above it. And
beyond.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Unfortunately, it's a part of human nature. We have some biases towards people we like. And for me, if this was, I don't know who I would like to work with. The Rock. I'm just going to throw that out there. For example,
hi, Diego.
Since Diego is here. If we had the opportunity to work with The Rock and they asked me to go to give, ask for, to go a little beyond scope, of course.
Within reason, yeah.
Because one, it's like the opportunity to work with The Rock. It's like just the, what do you call it? It would be a great like portfolio piece and everything, just the opportunity to work with it.
That's a resume buffer right there.
Yeah. And then, but then this particular project, we're going to deliver the best we can, but obviously there's like, we're going to be strict in the boundaries of scope. And it's unfortunate because like, I know it's probably like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Or it's probably like a whole probably ethics kind of thing, but it's just, how does this further like the benefit of obviously like a great experience? Cool. But in terms of mental health and my bandwidth, mm-hmm. going above and beyond
and your creative growth, like, what is this doing for you? Yeah. What you're doing for them, you do for
we do this. There's nothing different from it already. Yeah, there's nothing.
You literally said I can run it through the machine.
Yeah. So it's like,
it's okay, nothing cool. new. It's nothing exciting.
And it's done.
And whatever they're talking about isn't as exciting. I'm not saying it's not exciting as this, but
Random
internet chatter that they put together.
Oh, you're talking about their content. The content.
I mean, so is ours, technically.
No, the content that we're editing, that I'm editing for them, is because there's no net win to go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be strict on the scope. And if they don't like boundaries, then I honestly do not give a shit.
If they
remove themselves from the project, because
if they don't like boundaries and they get a client that also doesn't respect boundaries, fucking karma, bro.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I mean, honestly, but that's just working with that, the agency who's the middleman of the main client.
Yeah.
So ideally I'd like to work with the main client because she was cool. Yeah. But anyways, that's my diatribe about
just let us do it. Hi, about, we're in paradox and we'll help your vision come to life.
You know what they're
No, we can't say it.
Oh yeah, because then it's just straight up exposing them.
We can't say it. You told me, and it's hilarious, and I hate it.
Yeah, at least our website's not going to be off Squarespace. And our
listen, I have nothing against people that use Squarespace.
Yeah, same.
Obviously, it's a little better.
I'm just being a salty little bitch, petty as fuck right now.
Just being petty.
So I'm on my.
It's like Squarespace is H&M and. Ours would be a K-Quez original would be well, Gucci.
Here's the thing, though. Like I feel like
K-Quez original. I can't.
Because I almost feel like there's a perception of using these certain websites. If you're doing a Wix website, and it obviously shows that you don't have, and obviously, like everyone who uses Wix, you
can't build a website on your own, which is fine.
Yeah, you do what you can with the resources you have, especially if you're on a budget.
For my day job, we have like an annex website that's built on Wix, because it served its purpose. It didn't have to be pretty.
Yeah. And then there's obviously Squarespace, beautiful templates, does the job, gets people jump-started on focusing, being able to build there. And then there's people
Parallax.
And then, if you want to get one of the best people in Parallax fucking websites, man, our guy, KK's shit is A1. And there's actual, like, custom build, not can't be duplicated. So there's that. But anyway, I feel like there's just a level of perception for me, like, of Wix versus Squarespace versus WordPress, custom build. So. We're not using WordPress. Like even then, like it obviously worked to your budget, but also be aware that I think there's a perception of what people of presentation.
GeoCities.
Yeah. Oh man. Hell yeah. I loved GeoCities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just be mindful of that. But as long as the job gets done.
People that don't care.
Yeah.
There's people that don't care. They're like, oh, you have a website. Cool.
Yeah, like one of the people I work with have a Wix website. Mm. Yeah. One of our former clients had a Wix website where we had to fix the SEO.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but and those things still do a really good job in terms of the tools. But creative capabilities are limited. But then again, who needs that if it gets the job done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about the generational workplace.
Well, we're on the topic technically of boundaries.
Okay.
Being respected. So here we go. Because I read an article. It was on LinkedIn. Meanwhile, I was on LinkedIn.
Here's the thing with LinkedIn. I forgot who I watched saw it from, but they feel like LinkedIn is like a place for corporate cucks. And then people on their, and then these CEOs on their high horses, like talking shit down on people who are resigning.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
wait, you're getting that on your LinkedIn? Most of the things I see on LinkedIn are like for remote work, are like against, are like posting articles that are like, if your job offer doesn't have, like, obviously remote. Within reason, doesn't have remote as an option, you might be fucked.
Yeah, it's a mix because I'm connected with a lot of animators and creative people. So I see a lot of that. Yeah. But I also, since I started the whole business journey, I started following a lot of business people as well.
I know a lot of lefties.
So I know a little, I see both, like, okay. Obviously it's a lot of mindset stuff, but I also see stupid people being like, oh,
corporate,
you know,
cucks.
Yeah, corporate cucks. So we need the workplace. It is like the environment to be at your most productive or whatever the fuck they say.
Unless you're a fucking doctor or a nurse, you don't have to be at the workplace.
Yeah, imagine people just cut
or
people
a cook, to a or a chef house. Or the thing where you really need to be there to do your job. Anyway, so yeah, I was on LinkedIn and there was, I'm just gonna paraphrase it because I just like briefly read it, but they were saying that the 37-year-olds or like the elder millennials and older are like, it was a clickbaity title, but are afraid of the Gen Zers at their job. Not really afraid, but like some of them are amazed. Some of them are like, are amazed at the gall, the bulls, the kahunas, the chutzpah of like these Gen Zers, or like even the youngerish millennials to stick to their 9-to-5 or whatever their contracted number of hours are. Stick to their boundaries. Don't answer emails outside of work. Say no when they're being asked to come in to cover for someone. And it's a brand new concept to them to say no. Just straight up say no, like no excuses, no reasons. except I don't want to and I don't need to. Like, it's, and they're not swayed by the whole, we need you to be a team player. Yeah. And then, and they're like completely amazed by the gall of it. And I'm like, see, it's like sitting there, I'm like, you're right. Because I haven't worked in that sort of capacity in a year, like over a year. But before that, like pre-COVID, I, that was me. I would get texts like, hey, can you cover first? Because they're sick. Hey, can you cover first? Because they're late. Mm. Or, hey, so it was a no-show. Can you stay longer? Which I've done. Mostly because they wanted the money and they bribed me with overtime. At least they gave me overtime. But I'm like, I was just, like, just imagining that that exact same boss who doesn't work there anymore, but still that exact same boss who holds this whole you need to be a team player kind of thing, trying to ask a Gen Zer to come in to cover a shift or to stay longer to cover a shift or to come in earlier to cover a shift and then say no, yeah, and not even giving a reason, just no, this is the schedule you gave me. This is the schedule I'm sticking with that we agreed on. And that would blow his fucking mind.
I would love to read this article.
I'm going to go find it. It's like a week old, but it would blow his fucking mind. Like it's in, you know, in the comments I saw on like the, on like some of these LinkedIn threads were like, yeah, elder millennial here. Yeah. I'm trying to unlearn this as a boss and as an employee myself. Like there, I'm trying to unlearn the whole, like not respecting boundaries or ignoring boundaries. And I'm learning how to set boundaries for myself and how to respect boundaries of people under me. And I'm just like, thank fucking God for some of these Gen Zers. Because also like some of these Gen Zers started big boy jobs like during a pandemic.
Yeah.
So they were able to really like, set their own hours. They were, and like set their boundaries and that was it.
Yeah.
That's it for them. And if that changes, they're going to be like, nah, fuck no. And it's not because they're being babies about it. It's because they know what they want. They know what they're about. They know what they're worth.
And they, and it just sounds like they are aware that there's more to life than work.
Than work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some, there's people that are like, don't you want more money if you cover the shift? It's like, I'd like more money for the hours that we, that, you know, that we agreed on.
Yeah.
I'd like more money in general, but I'm not going to work myself to the bone for a couple extra dollars. Like that's what it was. That's what it is. Like it's, especially if they're not like full-time or they, if they get paid 15, if they get paid minimum and you make them stay another hour, that's just another $15 in their money, in their bank account. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're just like, whatever, no Starbucks for 3 days. And then there's this boomer mentality of like thinking that like these younger people setting boundaries and honoring their own boundaries. They're just like, oh, they don't have work ethic. It's like, no. They have work ethic. You don't have work ethic because you do not want to respect their boundaries. You look at their contract, you look at their job description, and you throw it out the window. Where's the work ethic in that? Mm-hmm. Where's the ethic, period?
Yeah. It's, like, it's definitely an interesting time because they're, then obviously them, the game was the company loyalty and all that stuff. That was they, how they kind of got up the ladder, so to speak. But it's, and that's where like they're, a lot of the toxic work culture is like they overlooked that because they needed to provide, you need to work hard and all that shit. Mm-hmm. And then
you work hard, you pull yourself up, baby.
But back then for them also is like the idea of self-care was like you're weak if you went to a therapist or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then now because there's so much more information in terms of and new new information, a new dichotomy of how work is seen. It's just different how people are seeing how work is.
Even employee appreciation used to be pizza parties.
Yeah. Like
that now it's letting them work remote. That's all we want. Letting us work the way we want to work or how we want to work most of the time or the option.
Being your word too. Because I was watching this one video of this guy during his performance review.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally saying like you said you're going to give me a 90-day review and then give me a raise and then that didn't happen and then he was and then he called him it became a 120-day review and he wanted his back pay for not getting there because he was promised a 90-day review. So it's like be your work. It's
is
like
there a lawyer out there that can tell me if I can sue them for that for lost wages?
That's fair. Yeah,
I don't know if you want productivity and it like efficiency and maximum efficiency out of your employees. Don't work them to the bone. Don't tell them you need to be coming in. Don't tell them they need to be on at all times. That's not how you become productive.
Oh, and like, even hate the 8 hour day, man.
Even, yeah, the 8 hour day. I was gonna go there. The 8 hour day. I can do work for, I can do 8 hours worth of work in 4 hours. It's not like I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs for 4 hours, but like, if this is all I have to do for the day and I don't have anything else going on, what are you going to do? Dock my, like, cut my pay in half? No, you gave me a contract of like 8 hours. So what am I going to do? Either I pad it out and like work as slowly as possible, which I hate, by the way, mm-hmm. or just get a bunch of work done, get a week's worth of work done in a day.
Yeah, that, God, there's so much you're unfolding right now. Like,
especially me, because I'm still hourly. And also, okay, my director and I had a meeting today, and it wasn't just like normally them going on and on about like random things that have nothing to do with work. But you know, at some point they were like, oh, and they were planning out the budget for next year for our department. And they were like, well, we have this much budget and what are we allocated for? Like, do we need more equipment? Do we need new things for the office? Do we need this? Do we need that? And they were like, well, we're spending less time in the office. Like, we're doing like maximum two a week, mm-hmm. 2 days a week at this point in the office. Like, essentially the 2 days a week in the office and like a set schedule for that was just to appease some people in upper management.
Why?
Because they're just like, oh, it's not like they were requiring us. But they were like, well, if you're not going to use your office, then that whole thing, like, we're going to, just should we give away your extension? Should we give away this? Should we, there's a bunch of like appliances with like your names on it. Should we give that away too? It's just, essentially, they were like, if you don't come into your office every now and then, you're going to lose your office. And I'm like, you know what? That's fair. But
that's stupid.
That's stupid. Here's the thing. I was going to be coming in 2 days a week anyway, because I need photos of things.
Yeah.
And what photos we used to get sent were unusable.
Mm.
And it's the whole, if I want something done, do it myself. Fine. That much I'll do. I will come in and take pictures and I'll do some admin-y work like in the office for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to return full time. There's no fucking way. And it's a good thing that like my director moved further away from the office.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're also advocating for partially returning and more time remote.
Mm.
And I looked out, like if I had someone else that was more old school, they were like, yeah, we're coming back to the office. That's the only way we can be productive.
Oh God. Yeah. Being in the office does not mean you're productive.
And it sucks, man, that I needed someone to advocate for that.
Yeah.
I can't just be like, no, I don't want to. Because they're like, yeah, who are you? I'm like the bitch that carried the marketing throughout the whole pandemic.
Oh.
Shut up. Anyway, but, I'm done.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, being in the office does not mean you're going to be productive. It is, if anything, more of a cesspool of distractions.
And a cesspool of germs.
You have Jimmy down the hall trying to talk to you in your fucking cubicle, or you have your boss trying to micromanage you.
Looking over my shoulder because we're in the same office.
And now your work is subpar because you're working out of fear instead of comfort and all that stuff. And albeit like
there are people that can't, that feel more productive in the office. I get it.
Yeah. And then there's also people who actually
power to you.
That are absolute slackers when they're at home, because I have a friend who manages a virtual team. Yeah. And then they were slacking. They were let go. So obviously pros and cons for both, but I think
slack anywhere you let go.
So it's a matter really of, before in the individual case where they were self-awareness of where they're going to be productive. Mm-hmm. I think overall it's going to be better for a lot of people in the sense of they have comfort, especially with like how for example you and I, we have beast machines for our work.
I can like the Photoshop and design thing, I can do Premiere. Freaking way I'm running Premiere on those computers.
Yeah. And even if they have these programs, it doesn't have the specs that I need.
Yeah.
And then.
Oh, it does. We have Premiere on those. I open it and I go take a lap and get some coffee, make some tea, talk to some people, come back. It's still not open.
Yeah. And then, God, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. And they offered to, they literally offered to literally buy this, not buy it off me, but like buy a similar setup for me. And I'm like, no, just pay me more. Just pay me more so I can update my own rig.
That's true. That's
Because then what? Am I gonna? I'm gonna get a brand new rig,
and
then
you never.
What? I'm gonna get a brand new rig, and then like at work, and then when I leave, I have to give it back.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna be like, oh, then I'm back to my 1070.
Yeah. See, that's a like for both. I can also see how home is distracting because like you have TV. If you're a parent, you got a kid, and that's even rougher. Or and you can easily be just like, oh, there's your bed. I can see like how
there's my bed.
People like associate home with comfort because obviously once you leave work, home is comfort. But I could see how employers want them to come back into the office because it's technically an environment in a sense, like the like, yeah. You know, like, much like how you go to the gym to work out, but you don't necessarily need to go to the gym to work out. Just
you just need to be around it.
Yeah.
So it motivates you. I get it.
I like at least setting up your space to do so. But to make a comeback into the office,
either too soon or they're not comfortable with it yet. Because hello,
and I just don't think it's doable or not doable. It's throughout the whole year of 2020, it's been proven. People can go remote, and I think so many people from HR and all this stuff. Oh, we're up this much. You're doing great. We support you. All this stuff, and then all of a sudden, like you're doing great working from home. All of a sudden, you have to come back in. And then it's like
productivity goes down.
And then wait, I thought we were doing good. Why do we need to come back in?
Yeah. There's people like me and you and like a bunch of like maybe other people that are used to working from home. Maybe freelance on top of their day jobs or whatever the fuck. Like, so early on in lockdown, I was just like, all right, let's fucking do this. Cause like I've been working for VP like for a while now. And doing virtual meetings, like doing all the work remotely, because obviously I'm not over there, sadly. And I'm like, it's completely possible to do. I'm like, I get it. Like some of like their situations are different. Like,
yeah,
their parents, they have this, like one of them has a toddler, the other one has teenagers and blah, blah, blah. And now their lives are completely different from mine. And that's the thing though. Like they also have, they're already salaried. So it doesn't matter what time they work.
Yeah.
They just work.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You set your own schedule and I set mine.
Yeah.
So if you email me at 10 because you had to take care of your kid this whole time, cool. You're not getting a response from me till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Because I finished work at 5:30 even. I pushed it at 5:30 for you because you had a question. 5:30 is the cutoff. Don't after 5:31, I'm on do not disturb.
Yeah. Going back to the whole 9 to 5 thing is it's been fairly demonized for the past 10 years, like especially from all these fake entrepreneurs. Like, oh, fuck the 9 to 5. But I also agree to that in a sense. Yeah. Like you don't a 9 to 5. If you can get the job done in 3 hours, you get the job done in three hours. But that's the thing as like employees is like, if you can get it done in 3 hours, imagine what you can get done with all those entire 8 hours that productive. I'm
there's only so much work that can be done.
There's also only so much the human mind and can handle within the day. You need breaks. Like you said, like no one can be on the entire 8 hours.
And especially if your work is collaborative, like you're waiting on other people who work on a completely different schedule as you. So I could be done with all these things within 2 hours and send it over to them for approval and they don't get to me until 5. I'm already done at 5. I already did other things between then.
Yeah.
So we can't finalize this until tomorrow. Sorry. Not sorry.
Yeah.
I work my hours.
So that, that's
my contracted hours.
That's exactly that. That whole thing goes back into I'm going to share the screen on Zoom. They can see it on the chat. But it's like Parkinson's law. Parkinson's law simply is the work expands with the time allotted to it. So effort, look at right here, effort increases with the when there's less time, effort decreases the more time there is, because now you have time to just chill and relax, especially, for example, like those being in college, when we have like a paper due like by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Oh, you got time. But then by the end of it,
before you're like, oh shit.
And effort increases and you still get the shit done.
Yeah, I've done that.
So
I've put off a couple, like they would tell me like, oh, we need this and this, but it's not for a month. So you have time. I'm like, all right, you're right. I have time. And then 2 days before I'm like, no one talked to me. I'm working on this.
Yeah. And that's a kind of like how I've been doing with VP. Most deadlines are always going to be on Friday. Mm-hmm. So then I try to manage it where everyone's like, okay, is it too much for this week? So I try to divide
it. And then you move it.
Yeah. But because then at least there's a deadline of when shit needs to get done. Because I felt like obvious reasons, like if it's given too much time, I'd much rather see something done and then build off that.
Yeah.
Versus like waiting for.
I know you've assigned me things for like a whole month, and like some of them I like did way ahead of time because I just had the time, and I was like, I guess I'll do it, and then because I know you're just gonna assign me more anyway. It's not like I'm gonna be twiddling my thumbs because there's still more to do, and because I figure I'm like, well, if I do this, it'll lighten my load for whenever I get more stuff to do.
Oh yeah, there's a lot coming through.
I know.
It's for those of you guys listening or watching on YouTube, we're doing, I don't know when this is coming out because I still got to edit our in-person podcast from when you're here, but we're doing November push because by the second week of December, we're taking 4 weeks off, 3 weeks off.
Three
weeks vacation for the whole team. I'm going to attempt to not work, but it's going to be the goal is for to catch up on one, to get ahead of clients that way December is handled, and two, to catch up on any backlogged stuff from our internal projects because we have a lot of backlogged stuff, and it's just been a lot, and I to the point where I'm like, I'm gonna hire probably like a couple more editors. I hired one today so we can start catching up because we have two other editors, but like one there's only so much they can all handle, and then one of them also is in college, so
yeah.
And it's finals for the next 2 weeks. It's finals for the next 2 weeks for him. He asked for that time off. So it's just like, okay, cool. 2 weeks. And I can't personally take on some of these. So I'm going to bring some other people. And that's the thing. Bring on other people means you got to train them. But thankfully we have SOPs, but I'm hopeful. And this, the projects are simple enough to get confident in what I need. The main thing I want out for my end and for Temper Tantrum's end, which is the two, like those of you guys first time listening, my personal brand and Temper Tantrum's my dance company, is to catch up on all the reaction videos because I feel like that's super easy. Just follow the format, follow what I said in the SOP, and then you're good. The next thing would be to catch up on all our podcasts. That is a little bit trickier because it has a very long process of full video. Then the new thing I've been doing is that we do the multicam look, multicam, and then we do all the mini episode passes, the micro content passes, and then subtitle passes. There's a million steps to it, so that one is a little trickier, most time consuming. If anything, it'll be like one person per podcast. Because it is that deep and there's a lot. We're still trying to catch. I'd like to catch up on that. But hire someone new. And I think this is also the first time you
sat in an interview.
Yeah. How did you think I handled it? I feel like I held back in terms of being a dick.
Yeah, you did. You were surprised.
For people listening or watching, is because I have a dick-ish, standoffish kind demeanor. Of vibe because I'm super skeptical about people's work at first. I also try to be friendly. Like, hey, how you doing? Have a conversation. Yeah. But I'm also in the mindset of, okay, I'm going to nitpick your work and hear how you think. And then occasionally do like funny jabs here and there so we can laugh. But like, it's mainly like my eye is being very critical to see if the person is a fit. And then it's also part of like my belief of you don't know a person until you've seen their worst. Mm-hmm. And then for me, like I can be like, I get, especially giving notes, I nitpick a lot. So doing that, I'm kind of nitpicking and seeing like, what's the thought process? How are they involved? Because the work for some of them already spoke for itself. It was good. Now I wanted to hear how they think and how they respond and the most important thing, how we mesh in terms of energy. Because then if we can vibe, Ahmed, he killed the interview. So did Bernie. Like, it's a, what do you call it? They, and Mukim was more professional.
Everyone that got hired.
And that's the thing too. Is the person I'm going to hire mesh well with everyone else in terms of humor and whatnot? And for me, I feel like I'm being like protective, I would say, of who's being allowed to touch what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because if I just let anyone in, the quality might drop. Mm-hmm. And I need to be as rigorous as possible in the interviewing process prior to that. But that's just my process. What did you notice?
Yeah, because like you've told me about like your process before, like just like actually like seeing it. Because like I was on the phone with you while you were interviewing Bernie, but I wasn't really in the interview. I was like trying to go to bed.
Oh, really? You were listening to me? Oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
But you did send me Bernie's
resume. Was very impressive.
I was impressed with the resume, and I was just like, oh, you better fucking hire her. But like, depends if she kills the interview. But I was gonna say, because like for me as someone who's an employee, someone who's been interviewed a few times before, I've noticed that like some of these like places that I've interviewed at, they get overly friendly. They not really overly friendly. They're like, hey girl, or whatever. Like they kind of try to keep it casual. They try to relate to you. They really want to give the impression that you'll fit right in already. Like, yeah. Oh, it's like, we already know each other. And then when you start working there, you're like alienated because you're actually, or maybe, yeah, you do fit in. Like maybe you do mesh with them, but then they start acting different, or like the first, like, God, this is classic manipulation. They love bomb you during the interview and your first couple weeks. And then the first time you make it, the first time you fuck up, nobody fucking likes you anymore.
Oh yeah. It feels like it's you did the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I put a period instead of a fucking comma.
Oh God.
Like they're next to each other on the keyboard. Why am I a fucking pariah now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of which, segue, right. Unless you had another thing.
Pariah for what?
No, like the love bombing.
I feel like that needs time for itself. We need to dissect that one. Yeah. I feel like it needs to be separate.
Okay. So watch out for that one.
Yeah. So we're just hinting. So probably in a couple weeks.
We don't have time.
Yeah. But what were we talking about?
Employers.
Oh, yeah.
Hiring, the hiring process.
Yeah.
So like for you is the exact opposite. You're like, you're closed off. You're not as personal. You're not like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Buddy? I'm not there to be their friend.
Yeah. You're not there to be, it's not a friend interview. This is a job interview. So you're about business. And like you said, you like throw in like a funny jab here and there. You're like, it's humor. And you like, it's not like you were just like, oh, your work is shit or whatever. You're just like, oh, how did you think? Like you actually, at least the one I watched, you like actually praised his work. Like you were like, no, this is good. It is really good. I like your work, blah, blah, blah. And it's just too bad that software issues.
this is the one that you said. And yeah, I liked him a lot. His timing, he had really good understanding of timing, which
it's pretty on par with all the good videos of each type that I've seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
He can.
He fits more of a certain type of video. But yeah, like it's, what do you call it? And I was able to tell that he went to film school because he actually sent me a fucking reel.
Yeah.
But his editing was much slower in the sense of it took its time to build. Mm. And as much as I love tutorials on YouTube, there's, again, God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. There's just some things you can't get from YouTube that you can in college.
But college is still a scam.
Yeah. But because I've seen, like, I'm not going to say all, but I've seen some self-taught editors that present work that is week one level.
And like then, one?
Like week one level? of editing 101.
Okay.
And then present it as this is the quality.
That's
work
where I'm at. Client.
So yours is good for the most part. I mean, if you want me to actually.
For what it is. Like for what it is.
Yeah. But like, no, this is
like when I first started editing.
Yeah.
Back in 2017.
Like, yeah. And then that's the thing. Like, I guess college, like there's the instructors and then there's your feed. I guess it depends on the class. Cause when I was going to school, everyone watched the teacher dailies. Talk about your work. And it was called dailies. And then they obviously, anyone who works in a film studio or production house, they have dailies. But like they would do that. And then everyone, like if you're an introvert or if you're shy about your work, you had to develop thick skin.
Yeah.
Because it was just, and that's how you get better. Because one, you're learning the teacher's giving you their feedback and their eye. And then two, you're also getting feedback from your peers. And which gives you more perspective of like how to approach certain things. Learning from YouTube, as much as I learn it, I love it. People don't get that refinement, so to speak.
And getting critique from your like fellow students, I guess, gives you a good sample size of what people like.
Yeah.
Like of what people that like movies like.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And, yeah. Like, and so his stuff is very refined. He's got, he shared, also shared that he worked in broadcast. The other guy, like the other kid that I interviewed today, uses a straight up YouTube tutorial.
Self-taught, yeah.
Yeah. Self-taught. But the thing is, I just need the job done. And then we'll see how I'm giving him a 2-week trial run, paid trial run to see how, primarily to see directions of how well he executes.
If you want to bring him on after the break.
And I don't know, but that's the thing. Like,
maybe
do I bring more people on? But I feel like it would be a relief in terms of like Mookie, well, both are editors, because then they're not trying to do so much, but I'm also, but you know,
should I min-max it?
That, because I here's the thing, like I'm probably going to give them more, but also like I'm also keeping in mind this is, especially the holidays and all that stuff, how much mental and emotional capacity do they have throughout all this? Yeah. So it's, I'd much rather like, and then also thinking also like the other side is it just works better if everything, if the projects are being worked on in parallel, you know, instead of one person having to do everything, that these five tasks spread across can be done and then sent in. I can review and all that stuff. It's just going to, in terms of efficiency, in theory, it should work as long as they obviously follow the SOP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I keep interrupting. You were saying about the interview.
No, that was it. Like, yeah, like that's what I don't like about job interviews. Like the second it starts off as you trying to be all buddy buddy with me, it's like, are you interviewing me for a job? Or because I basically, before my first ever job interview, I forgot when that was, but like, I know. Yeah. Like before my first ever job interview, I was like, I was conditioned to think that I need to be intimidated by the person interviewing me. Like, not like super like scared.
Or, yeah.
Like I need to be nervous about it. Not like they're trying to like, I guess they mean well. They're like, you don't be nervous, blah, blah, blah. But like at the same time, it's like, yeah, but how much do you care about the company or the project or whatever? Like,
yeah,
that you're just essentially trying to be friends with me first and then try to see if I'm hireable.
Yeah.
Like, how about see if I'm hireable first? Then we can try to be friends later.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, my interview with you was different.
Yeah, that's true. but like that's the thing too. Like some people are just good at interviewing.
There are people that are excellent at interviewing. I have worked with those people.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like
are terrible at the job.
And that's the thing. Like if I'm a buddy with them and oh yeah, we vibed really well, but
we vibe really well.
Then, obviously. but if I didn't get the answers that I needed of like their technical know-how, then that's a shit interview. And that's the fault of the boss.
Yeah. Oh so. Yeah. I've worked with people that can talk someone's ear off, that can literally talk someone's pants off. But once it came time to actually apply themselves, and after they talk a big game, then it's just like, where were you?
I know.
Where was this? And then I look at whoever hired that person. I'll just be like, this is what you hired.
Yeah.
Why?
And I'm super like, yeah, if they can't do the job, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like super strict like the first couple of weeks, because I'm like, I need to see that you can follow directions. I need to see that you can handle feedback. Yeah. I need to see that you can deliver and hit deadline. Mm-hmm.
And then they're just in it, and then it just turns into a natural progression of like that. Eventually, you're asking about people's grandmas.
Yeah, I need to know that I can count on you in the trenches before I can be friends with you.
Yeah.
So
because like it's setting the expectation that you're boss first, friend second.
Yeah. And then.
And that's weird for us because how do we do this?
It depends. Because depending on the conversation, really.
Yeah.
If the conversation is about work and it's about something that I'm doing for work, you're my boss first.
Yeah. I feel like personally for me, I feel like I'm good at compartmentalizing.
Not.
And I'd say because it's one of those things I can say that, but am I really, you know what I'm saying?
This is a me problem, but when I screw up and then obviously you call me out, I take it very personally because it's my fucking problem. That's my problem. That's my issue. That's something I need to fucking work on. But yeah, like I just take it personally because like of our relationship.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. But like, thankfully it's never gone to the point where like we argue about work.
Yeah.
So it's like, cause I think
Well, I think work-wise, we come to a resolution.
Yeah.
And then we handle the personal stuff after the resolution.
Yeah. Because I feel like we're really good. We're really good on that part in terms of communication. Mm-hmm. And I also try to keep in mind that this isn't your only thing. And I try to keep in mind of realistically what your workload can be. But this is all just based off like assumptions. Yeah. Okay. Can she, what's the work? And that's what I'm trying to figure out too. Like, where can people, you and others, like, what, where is your zone of, I'm going to say confidence, like I can knock it out like that.
Knock it out.
Yeah. Cause it's different. Cause I'm like just with Bernie, like one of the social media managers, like working with one of our other clients, she's just, she's just having a rough ass time doing it. Like we're getting like the client that we're talking about, he's still emailing me about errors. But the thing is, like, we handled it different. Like now it's, he's not so much reprimanding us for simple mistakes. It's like, okay, this is what's going to happen now. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to just change her to have her do something different. It's not in her zone of confidence.
Yeah.
So like in the
confidence or comfort.
Yeah.
Both.
So, and then, but then there's this whole thing too, like zone of genius when you're both confident and you're like, and you're loving it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, but that's the thing. Not everyone's zone of genius is in work, but
I mean, I have a zone of genius and zone of confidence in work and outside of it. That's the thing. Not a lot of people have that.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to work. Some people are like, we're not technically meant to live to work.
Technically, yeah.
Technically, but we need money.
So, this humanity.
Capitalism, yay.
For some reason created this. Like this form of exchange and currency and exchange of goods. I feel like where we are is just an evolution of what was. It's just instead of hunting and or like doing favors, it's now on a fucking, it's Bitcoin or NFTs.
Dogecoin. Oh my God.
Dogecoin or Shiba Inu.
Oh my God.
But that's.
Oh, we don't have time to discuss K-pop companies getting into NFTs.
Oh God.
That's
later. Yeah. It's another topic, but yeah, nonetheless, it's, I am not against my position on capitalism. Like I love it. Because it has provided, coming from where I am from, I would not have gotten the same opportunity back in the Philippines.
I make it work for me.
So
I don't like it, but I make it work for me.
I can see that. And then, because, yeah, like I said, I wouldn't have had the same opportunities if I was still in Tondo. I would have been a drug addict or something. Like, but who knows? A different environment. But for me, it's the thing that I hate about capitalism is the people who
suck its dick,
who get engulfed with the greed of it.
Yeah.
And that's easy for me to say right now because I'm in my baby step journey of building the businesses, even though we're technically just 5 years old. But like, and I think this is one of the things I admire about small homegrown businesses is that they keep the human aspect of it. Cause there's companies that go really fast and then they have to now and then go public and then they have to like serve the shareholders, which is all about the money, which is, I get it. It's the other, just people investing in it.
Yeah.
But also then there's also the part of, okay, you have a lot of money now. How are you treating your people?
Yeah.
Like, how are you? That's the part I hate. Like, how can you have all this money but not take care of the people helping you build the thing?
Mm-hmm.
So it's because here's the thing, though. Like, these weird conversations I have in my head. Technically, I think anyone watching this, correct me if I'm wrong. Technically, speaking of, for example, Jeff Bezos, technically his earnings from Amazon was only 80K.
Yeah.
Most of his stuff came from like stocks. Investments and stocks. So where does that go? Then technically that's not from the business that he built.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing with, Dan Price, who's I think a fantastic CEO. It started everyone off with 80K already.
70.
So you're right. 70K. And he's also lessened his amount. But I'm assuming he's well off.
He's getting money in stocks.
Yeah. In stocks as well. So is it even fair to say like that money should go back to the employees when it's not nothing to do with...
That's one of those clever accounting things.
What do you mean?
You just have a financial advisor or an accountant that's smart and told you or that informed you, maybe nudged you in the direction of, hey, make only this much money from the company.
but put the rest in stocks and make your money there. Because then that has nothing to do with the company. But you only have an $80,000 paycheck to show.
But look at me, I only made $80,000. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's definitely one way to, a clever way to
also make a bunch of philanthropic donations for tax drops. Yeah.
And that's the thing too. Like, what if there's people who are genuinely doing it, but because they have a lot of money, it seems like it has a more negative light to it?
I guess it does. Because the way Dan Price did it is, let's say he's also getting 70K from the company, as is everybody else. But mm-hmm. then again, he has more money in stocks. Yeah. But at least 70K a year to start isn't bad. And yeah. nobody's peeing in water bottles.
That's true. Like, if anything, it almost feels like, okay, if everyone's earning 70K, they're all of equal footing, they can also equally invest into the other stocks.
And at this point, like with Dan Price, like it makes kind of irrelevant how much he made, because then everyone's already starting at 70K. That's already large enough. Like at that point, that's all.
Yeah, because they're at the same, like, there's the pay gap between CEO and employee is it's not big. It's the
same.
The
pay gap between employee, like just a little bit higher up, and then you down here, not that big either.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, okay.
So if anything, it just sounds like it's more of like, we need like the people, you know,
the people need to be able to
have affordable wages, livable wages, like that.
And then you can make however much fucking money you want.
Yeah.
CEO, whatever. Fine. I guess you work for it.
Now that we're talking about it. Yeah. Cause like, that's the thing too. Like they essentially built it, whatever, yada, yada. And then you found other ways to make money, well, whatever. But it's also like, cool. You have the extra, I guess now, as we talked about it, like, if Jeff Bezos is at 80K, he can probably do that for a lot of people. I'm not a math person, but I'm pretty sure he can do that for at least do, I don't know, whatever the minimum wage is currently, like per state. Cause I know it's like 14 here currently in California, but if they can
start, it was 15.
Is it 15? Okay.
If it's 15 in New Jersey and New York, okay, so it's supposed to be 15. They're pretty much on par, especially New York and California.
Because in that case, I know some motherfucking small businesses trying to undercharge now then.
So. And they're most likely restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if that's
it's all restaurants, actually.
If he can at least. And then this is just me being on my high horse and whatnot and being altruistic, but. Like he can at least have people fucking 20 an hour, especially if you can afford someone a space. Obviously, that's his money that he probably earned from like investments and whatnot. And
being and so smart it, about his money. That's the thing because he was smart about his money. No, he was advised. So now he's smart about his money. And then there's people that we got into this a little bit before we started. There's people that barely have enough money to be smart with.
Yeah. That's true. Like sometimes, and that's the thing too. Like assuming we're talking about some Amazon employees or like some people who just aren't being paid minimum wage, like that paycheck goes to survivorship or just to pay the bills enough to
pay the bills, feed the kids, themselves.
Yeah. And then with that amount, like it's hard to even think of saving.
Yeah.
So I think that is the stupid BS part of being a successful business person. That's the part of capitalism I do not like. I like the idea because if you go into like your crew, like especially for me coming from the dance company, dance scene, like your crew, the people you're with, that was everything. Like that was your family in a sense because you were in the trenches, you were practicing.
You literally called your team family business.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
you literally called yourself family business.
So, and that's the kind of the mentality I was from. Like, I like that culture. So, like, I want to incorporate that of like, cool, let's a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
So like I'm okay with not earning anything right off the bat just so we can keep building what we build.
So you're investing in your own company, you're investing in your own people, you'll make that money back at some point.
Yeah. Because I just feel like it's just an eventuality. You just gotta keep producing the good work. But it's and I hope that I can keep these principles.
And I've always seen
when we get up there,
I've always seen like hiring employees as a form of investment into the company.
Yeah.
Too. It's not just, I need help.
Yeah.
Here, money, help me. It's more of a, I want to invest in this company in the form of work.
Yeah.
I pay for.
Because now it's one of those things, it's scaling the unscalable. It's like we can't exactly just like, here's a automatic tool that edits the way I want. Like, no, I got to hire other
people. Not yet.
So yeah, AI. But
we were just talking about that a long time ago.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things, but I'd say I admire Dan Price for what he's doing.
Not every other CEO can afford to do that.
But yeah, but it's also, then that also goes to the question, like, what does the CEO need to do if he's having a hard time
paying,
keeping paying and even take care of himself?
That's the thing. Yeah.
No, that's a hard part, especially if you're a brick and mortar. That's rough.
Overhead.
Yeah. Overhead.
So much overhead.
Especially in Los Angeles. So that's rough. And then obviously, trying to adapt, especially if you're a much older generation, adapting to the new landscape stuff, marketing or trying to reach a certain demographic that might be out of your reach now. There's just a lot, but like having
so either adapting or refusing to adapt and thinking, oh, this worked.
Yeah. And
that's what I've gotten from watching Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, especially if the owner of the restaurant is older. Mm-hmm. They're saying, but it's worked like this for like several hundred years or whatever the fuck. Why change now?
Oh.
And then Gordon Ramsay's in there like, it's not fucking working.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I'm kidding. It's not fucking working.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's wild. Okay, my closing thoughts. I like capitalism for the opportunity that it's given me here because I am hyper aware of what I couldn't have had. But also, I also highly believe that the people who are helping lift the vision need to be praised for that and compensated to what they deserve and whatever that looks like. And through a punch in the face, no, I'm just kidding. Whether they're, I don't know, they're local, they're a virtual employee in the Philippines, still take care of them because they're still helping. They're humans too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because you don't see them, because you don't hang out with them, doesn't mean they're not fucking real.
Yeah, they're not just like. Yeah.
See, I don't like capitalism. I make it work for me in order to do what I want to do, which is to distribute wealth.
Mm.
I don't have wealth, but you know, when I do, I will.
That's what I'm trying to do. Like, I want us to earn the thing so I can distribute the wealth to the people helping make the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, you've seen me like,
and it's it's not even to the people helping, it's just people that need it too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The donation.
Yeah. Chair. Like, dude, like, what do I do on your streams? Like on the weekends, spread the wealth. Like, here, have 10 subs.
Oh yeah. God.
10 random people. You get a sub. You get a sub. You get a sub. 10 people get a sub. I can only afford 10. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
I'll do it now.
If you guys like this, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and do all the things. Follow Max and her photography page. We appreciate you listening. We're gonna keep this intro short so that way you guys don't sign off here in YouTube and keeps my audience retention high. Okay. Thanks. Bye.